We hear in our gospel account this morning from Mark a pair of healing stories. Yet in the midst of these stories of tangible expressions of God's grace and goodness, there are elements which might give us pause for concern. And Mark tells us that Jesus basically calls the Syrophoenician woman, her daughter, their people, dogs. And what might it mean as we consider the way in which we often find ourselves in the characters in Scripture, to consider what it means for someone who identifies with the Syrophoenician woman as a mother acting on behalf of her daughter, her family in need, or perhaps who, as they hear again this term of the mother being a Gentile, a foreigner, an outsider, knows from their own life what it is to be on the outside looking in, wanting to be a part of the community. What does it mean to have Jesus' first response to this woman's declaration of need? Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah, the incarnation of the divine, Jesus' first response is to describe them as animals, not worthy of God's gifts for the children of God. Likewise, as we hear the following healing story of the man who's deaf, who has a speech impediment, and Jesus providing healing and restoring him into communication and fullness with his community, how might that story be received by someone from the deaf community, for whom their deafness is a part of their identity? I think it's of great importance as we hear the passages from Scripture that affirm our God's goodness and faithfulness and the way in which God brings grace and healing, to remember that words matter and that God's grace and restoration is wide enough and deep enough and abundant enough that as we proclaim God's goodness, we can do so in ways that do not create separation or exclusion for some of the members of our community. I think James is looking to capture this point in the reading that we hear in our second reading today. In the community that he's writing to, we can hear that this community welcomes people of a variety of different economic backgrounds. And yet, even within their all are welcome mentality, he identifies that there is reports of preferential treatment. That, yes, all are welcome. You with the fine clothes, come, please, sit where you like. And you with the dirty clothes, maybe stand over there. Yeah, over there. Yeah, over there. Good. Now, I imagine that as we hear that reading from James, the economic division that he's pointing to there, that he's naming and challenging, that might strike a chord for us in the midst of our own society. For we certainly have loud voices within our community, within our media or our nation, that proclaim we can judge the quality of a character or individual by how successful they are, by how much money they have. That much like Jesus' time, being a wealthy and successful individual might be seen as a sign of God's favor and a sign of good character. And for someone who is not wealthy, who is on economic hard times or who does not have a home, that is purely a sign of that individual's lack of drive or some failing of theirs that should rightly be shunned. And yet, I wonder too, even as we maybe hear that resonance where we see partiality or preferential treatment for economic reasons in our society, if there are other things that we could point to, like James, within our communities, where we see that all are welcome, but not quite to the same degree, or perhaps not even that all are welcome to begin with. You know, I know that here at Christ our Savior, here in this place of worship, that we strive to live out that ideal that all people are welcome, that we look for ways to be inclusive. You know, whether it's from the elements of communion where we have both wine and grape juice, bread and a gluten-free wafer, whether it's the ways in which that you don't need to be able to approach the front, but the servers will go to you. The sound system that we have to amplify what is said from the front. The ushers and host and hostesses who greet those and welcome new people and help them to get their bearings in our place of worship. To the nursery with its dedicated staff, providing a place for parents with little ones to be able to come and worship freely. We strive to live out this expression of our faith, to say that all are welcome. And yet, even in the midst of all these different ways that we try to create a place where all are welcome, I imagine that as the humans that we are, that there are times when we fall short. That there are places, even here in this house, where we all agree that all are welcome. All ought to be able to come and hear about God's good news of love and grace and faithfulness for them. That there might be some for whom, because of how they look, how they act, what type of assistive technologies they might use, that they would experience a form of more limited welcome. You know, as James goes on to say, our faith calls us to live out these ideals. And he lifts up the particular example of, if a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? You know, and I think that what James is lifting up here, you know, brings us back to our gospel message this morning, that when we look to the example of Jesus' ministry in the Gospels, that it is the proclamation of God's good news paired with action, with tangible, real experiences of people being restored to community, of people experiencing that good news. You know, regardless of how we hear Mark's story, whatever we think might be being left unsaid in the stage notes of Mark's account, it is clear the outcome. The woman's daughter is healed. Their family experiences newness of life. And as Jesus affirms that God's promise is not limited to just the Israelites, the understood children of God, but extends beyond those borders for all people, it comes not just as an assurance of some day far off after this life when all will be made welcome, but with real experienceable difference here and now for that woman, for her daughter, for their family. Likewise, on the return journey to Galilee, when Jesus encounters another request for healing from someone who might be seen as outside of his mission field, he does not hesitate, but imparts new ability for the man to communicate with those around him. The promise of new life through Jesus is revealed in these tangible ways of meeting the needs of those individuals as they declare their desire for new life. This is the example that we see time and time again in the ministry of Jesus, that God desires to reveal God's love and faithfulness through the promise of new life for all people, regardless of their nationality, their gender, their economic status, their ability, or any other characteristic that humanity might use to create a dividing wall, saying that some are welcome and some are not, that some are worthy and some are not. And this far-reaching inclusiveness of God's promise is not just for some far-off life to come, but also is meant to be experienced here and now as a part of this life in our own communities. Daily, we are given the opportunity to let our faith shape how we live and act in the world, to reveal through our words and our actions the worthiness, the validity that all people around us are deserving of, so that they too might experience in a tangible way the love that God has for them, the welcome that is meant for them in our communities. For none of us, not a one, comes before the God of creation with anything to our own merit beyond the righteousness that we have received from Jesus' actions on our behalf. And none have received a greater or lesser portion of God's grace because our God is one of abundance, who gives to each a full measure of the grace that we need. Like a life-giving spring breaking forth in a desert, with space for all to enter in and to be refreshed by its waters, so too is our God of abundance breaking forth in us and in our communities, in the movements of the Holy Spirit at work, revealing that which was previously beyond awareness, so that we might recognize in each person someone who is created in the image of God, and also in the body of Christ, in us, in our words and actions, working to build and shape relationships and communities where mercy would triumph over judgment. Amen.